You know, I read there in Acts 13:22 when it says that God raised up a king, David, the son of Jesse. A man after my own heart. A man that I found. A man after my own heart who will fulfill all my will. And of course, the next verse says that the Lord Jesus Christ, of whom he was the seed, that Christ was the seed of David, rightful heir to the throne. But now all things are naked and opened before God. God knows the thoughts and intents of the heart. He lays us open just like a man with a butcher lays open a carcass. He just sees everything about us. And then before his holy eyes. And he does not look like man does on the outward appearance. God looks past the outward appearance. We look on the outward appearance. Paul says, do you look on the outward appearance? When he told the Corinthians, you know, they said his bodily presence is contemptible. His speech is weak. He just, everything about him just awful looking. And he said, do you judge by outward appearances? Do you think you're Christ? He said, I'm Christ. I'm the one that belongs to Christ. I'm the one that God's using to preach the gospel to you. But they looked on the outward appearance, says God couldn't possibly use a little man like him. Bodily presence so contemptible. That's what they said. His bodily presence was contemptible. And his speech was weak. And that's why our Lord Jesus Christ says, you know, that those Pharisees, they said, they outwardly appear religious unto men. But God looked past that. He says, I know your hearts. You're those that justify yourselves before men, but everything that's pleasing in the sight of men is an abomination in the sight of God. God looks past this body. See, salvation is a matter of the heart. And God found, he said, I found David, a man after my own heart. You know, the scripture says, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. With the heart man believes unto righteousness. If thou shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, and confess with your mouth, thou shalt be saved. You see, God looks on the heart. You remember when he sent Samuel down to Jesse's house and he going to raise up a king, anoint somebody to be king. Well, they made him a big feast. Samuel went down there and he had 8 sons. And he started at the eldest and went through every one of those. Every single one of them. And every one of them come by there, he said, that's not him, that's not him, that's not him, that's not him. And they says, well, what's the matter with him? What's the matter with him? Samuel said, this says, God looketh not upon the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. Is there another one? He said, well, there's a boy out there keeping the sheep. He's not even important enough to be here for supper this evening. He's not nothing like these other big old fine strapping boys I got. I mean, these are men. He's just a boy. He's a stripling. He's out there taking care of sheep. He says, you go get him. You put somebody else in charge of them sheep. You bring him here. And that's God said, this is the one right here. This is the one. Oh, they all looked on the outward appearance. God said, that's not what I look at. I look at the heart. God deals with the heart. You see, it's with the heart that we love or we hate. It's with the heart that we serve or we don't serve. Now, see, what I mean by that is a person can have your body. They can have your duty. They can have your service. But I tell you one thing, if they have you personally, they have you when you love from your heart and you do what you do out of love for them. Whenever you do what you do out of love for them, and they got you. They may have your body, but until they got your love, that's all they got. They may have your duty until they got your love, that's all they got. They may have your service, but until they have your heart and your love, that's all they got. It's like marriage. Go get a license. Get a ring. Get a preacher. Get a dress. Put a suit on. Get married. Go off and get a nice house. Have a young'un or two. Make a pretty good living. But if there isn't love, If the heart is not in it, it's a lot of things, but one thing it ain't. It's not a marriage. Huh? It could be a marriage legally. It could be a marriage in a lot of ways. But it's not a marriage if there's not any love in it. And that's what God said. He said, it's the heart. He said, I have found him. Sought him. David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. And when God saw David, he said, I saw a man after my own heart. Well, what kind of heart did God see when he found David? What kind of heart does he look at when he sees us? Well, I tell you, one thing he seen when he found David and found a man after his own heart, it was a broken and contrite heart.
Yes,
there's a broken and contrite heart. Now here in Psalm 51, his heart was broken. This is when he had committed sin with Bathsheba. This is when he had committed the murder of Uriah, her husband. And here is a man, his heart was broken. Now listen to what I'm going to tell you. His heart was broken not because he had been caught in his sin. His heart was broken not because he had been caught in his sin, but because he had committed the sin. Not because he got caught, but his heart was broken over the fact that he did it. That he had the nature to do it. That he took the opportunity to do it. That he yielded to temptation to do it. Ain't that what he says down there in verse 16, 17? Look what he says down here. For thou desirest not sacrifice. Oh, if there's a sacrifice that I could give that put my sin away, if there's a sacrifice that I could give that would make me right with you, if there's a sacrifice that I could give that would give me a new heart, I'd give it. But you don't delight in burnt offering. But he says these are the sacrifices. And listen, God's got to give you these sacrifices. You don't have them naturally. God's got to give you these sacrifices. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. That spirit's got to be broken. As long as he stood and justified himself in his sin, as long as he stood and justified himself in his acts that he did and tried to clear himself and justify himself, he had not had a broken spirit, but his spirit was broken. What? Over the sin that he committed. It was a broken and contrite heart. And he says, God, you won't despise that. I'm broken over my sin. My heart is busted over my sin. I've got a contrite heart. And oh, beloved, and I tell you, another reason he had a broken, contrite heart here was because of his nature. Look what he says there in verse 3. I acknowledge my transgressions. Oh, I'd like to find somebody. People will acknowledge doing a lot of things, making a lot of mistakes, making some wrong decisions, taking the wrong route, saying the wrong thing. They will acknowledge a lot of things they've done, but David said, I acknowledge my transgressions. Yeah. My sin is before me. Oh, God, I see it. I see everything that I've done. Look what he says down in verse 5. And this is the reason he was doing this. This is the reason he's so brokenhearted. He realized I was shaping in iniquity. When I was beginning to form in my mother's womb, I was shaping in iniquity. Iniquity was in my heart. Iniquity is in my members. Iniquity is in my body. And in sin did my mother conceive me. My father's a sinner. My mother's a sinner. So what else can she produce besides a sinner? And he says, you desire truth in the inward parts. That's where you desire truth. Not just with the mouth. Not just with a confession. But he said, that here's where you desire truth. Plant it in the heart. Huh? And he saw his sin in the light of God's holiness. He says in verse 4. This is why his heart was broken, contrite. This is the kind of people after God's own heart. Not a proud Pharisee, not a self-righteous Pharisee, not somebody trying to justify the deeds they do. No, no, he said it's against you. He said, I sinned against Bathsheba. I sinned against Uriah. I sinned against Israel. And all these things, I gave the enemies of God great occasion to blaspheme, he says. But he says, when it's all said and done, it's against you. You only that I have sinned. And listen to how he describes it. And done this evil, whereat? In your sight. So that when you might be justified when you speak. When you call me guilty and you judge me, I'll have to acknowledge that you're right in what you say and do with me. That's what he says. Huh? Oh my. And that's where we all have to. We've all been there. And we'll be there again. But I'll tell you something else David saw, God saw in David's heart. Look so with me over in Psalm 108. Psalm 108. Not only did he see a broken and contrite heart, broken over his sin, not because he's caught in it, because he had done it. Awfulness of his nature. And oh, sin is a thing of the heart. That's what he knew. Create in me a clean heart, a right heart, a new spirit. He said, oh, here in Psalm 108, he says, David, God saw in David a believing heart. He said, oh God, my heart is fixed. What's it fixed? Fixed on you. You think he would have confessed his sin before God if his heart hadn't been fixed on God? I tell you what, when your heart's fixed on God, he's going to come clean with God. He said, oh God, my heart is fixed. I'll sing and give praise even with my glory. Huh? Oh, he believed God. He saw in David a believing heart. Now I want you to see Psalm 32. I should have went here first. Psalm 32. Oh, he believed God. He believed God, just like Abraham did. And because he believed God, it was imputed to him for righteousness. Here he was, he confessed his sin, he acknowledged transgressions, he confessed that he was shapen in iniquity, conceived in sin, broken-hearted, broken-spirited. But here he says in Psalm 32, he believed God for righteousness. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Whoa, my. Over there he's confessing sin. Now he's blessing God that is forgiven. Lord, if thou shouldest mark iniquities, who should be able to stand? But there is forgiveness with you. And watch this. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity. He said over there, shaven in iniquity. Now he says here, blessed is the man to whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity. And look what else he goes on to say. In whose spirit is no guile. He said, I don't try to hypocrite with God. And over in Romans 4 it says this, blessed is the man to whom the Lord imputeth righteousness without works. Yeah. And oh, look what he said. Verse 3, but I kept silence. My bones waxed old through my roaring all day long. Whenever I didn't praise you and bless you and call on you, for day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture was turned into the drought of summer. I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and my iniquity have I not hid. And I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. And thou forgavest me the iniquity of my sin. No wonder he says, blessed is the man. Blessed is the man. Blessed is the man. Huh? And all beloved, and I tell you what else he did. He trusted God's providence for his life. You know, he talked about being hunted as a partridge. He was hunted down. He was lived in caves. His son Absalom tried to take the throne away from him. And yet he trusted God all the days of his life. God's providence. You guide me. You search me. You turn me. You try me. You guide me. I'll hide under the shadow of thy wing. And I'll tell you something else he did as a believer, as having a believing heart. He believed in God's immutable faithfulness, that God would remain faithful no matter what he did. No matter what he did. Huh? Look what he said in Psalm 27:10. God's immutable faithfulness. And this is, oh, thank God for it, that He changeth not. His immutable faithfulness. When we abide not faithful, He will abide faithful. And that's what He said here in Psalm 27:10. He said, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Oh my. When my mother and father forsake me, you know who will take me? Boy, to think that your mother and father just says, boy, you know, Got no more use for you. And this happens all the time. Happens all the time. It happened in my life. 10 years old. He said, get all your stuff together. I put everything I owned in a paper garbage bag. Walked about a half a mile to the end of a lane. Somebody picked me up, and that's the last time I ever lived there. 10 years old. My little brother's 9. When your father and mother, I'd go for years not see my dad. When your mother and father forsake you, then the Lord take you up. The Lord took me up. He's been my mother. He's been my father. You know how many daddies I got now? I got more fathers than I can count. Got more mothers than I can count. I see 1, 2, 3 mothers in here this evening. I see 1, 2, 3 fathers in here. I got it from one end of the... I got it from the East Coast to the West Coast, from the Canadian border to all the way to Florida and Texas. Oh, listen, that's what David said. And you know what else he says? He said, the Lord is my shepherd. And you know what? I'll never want. He believed in God's... He had a believing heart. And then I tell you what else he had. He had a submissive heart. He had a heart submissive to the will of God and the providence of God and the rule of God. Look with me over here in 2 Samuel 12. 2 Samuel 12. And you'll see how he submitted to God here at the loss of his child. The loss of his child. And that's just something that I find one of the hardest things to imagine. Losing a child, I just cannot grasp what it goes through in a person's heart and soul when that happens. But here David lost a baby. And knowing it's beautiful, his heart of submission, a submissive heart to the will of God, the rule of God, beautifully exemplified the death of his son. And it says in verse 18 here, 2 Samuel 12. And it came to pass on the 7th day that the child died. And the servants of David feared to tell him that the child was dead. For they said, behold, while the child was yet alive, we spake unto him, and he would not hearken unto our voices. Now how will he then vex himself or hurt himself if we tell him that the child is dead? They got afraid that David's going to hurt himself. If he mourns so over the child being alive, what's he going to do when he's dead? But when David saw that his servants whispered, David perceived that the child was dead. Therefore David said unto his servants, is the child dead? And they said, he is dead. Now watch what David did. Then David arose from the earth, washed and anointed himself, and changed his apparel, and came into the house of the Lord and worshipped. And then he came to his own house. And when he required, they set bread before him, and he did eat. You see that? He got up, washed himself, changed his clothes. He done all of his mourning. Until the baby was gone, knew it was time to go worship. Kiss the hand of God's providence. Kiss the hands of God's providence. See, submission to God's will and providence, not a prayerless, effortless, lazy, indifferent fatalism. No. He didn't say, well, whatever God does, going to do. And he just went on about his business. No, he stayed there and prayed and fasted and heard and cried. And then when that child died, he said, it's gone. I can't bring it back. My heart's already broken. I'm going to go and worship my God. I'm going to go where I can find some solace. I'm going to go where I can find some comfort. I'm going to go where I can find some strength. And so you see, that's why Paul, he says, you know, I want to be found in Christ. I want to win Him. I want to know Him. I want to have the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. And you can't have that being lazy and effortless and submit yourself to the will of God and be found in Him. And also David had a broken, contrite heart, a believing heart. A submissive heart. What else kind of heart did he have? When God looked upon David's heart, he saw a loving and devoted heart. A loving and devoted heart. Look with me in Psalm 116. He had a loving and devoted heart. David was a man, he was a man's man, but he also had a heart devoted in love. Love to God. Love to God's will. Love to God's Word. Everything about God he loved. It said here in Psalm 116 in verse 1, I love the Lord. I love the Lord. I heard Scott Richardson bring one of the finest messages I ever heard in my life on this at Mascot, West Virginia one time. I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications. And watch this. Because he inclined his ear unto me. Oh my, you know, some of you folks hard to hear, and you'll turn around a little bit every once in a while and do like this, and turn that way, this way, and even hold your hand up. God's not hard to hear, but he does incline his ear. He said, here, I'll turn my ear toward you. Therefore, I'm going to call on him as long as I live. Oh, he was like Simon Peter when the Lord asked him three times, Simon, son of Jonas, do you love me? Oh, Lord, I do. Simon, son of Jonas, do you love me? Oh, Lord, I do. Simon, son of Jonas, do you love me? You know. You're the one that knows. And that's what David said here. Lord, I love you, and you know I love you, and I'm going to call on you as long as I live. And what did he love? He loved God. He loved God as he is. He loved God as he revealed himself to him, as he was known to him. And he loved him for all that he did for him. And he blessed him for that. And he was devoted to the Word of God. He said in Psalm 119, I have hid thy word in mine heart that I might not sin against you. He said, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. He loved God's word. Oh, God, it can never change. I can change, but your word will never change. And he says, your word is a light unto my path and a lamp unto my feet. Amen. Oh, he was devoted to God. He loved God and all that he is. He loved his word, devoted to his word. He was devoted to the will of God. He in the worship of God. He said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go on to the house of the Lord. And oh, beloved, when God's work was in shambles in his mind, he wept over it. When God's work was up, he rejoiced in it. Whatever it was going through in the kingdom of God, he was when it seemed like it was waning, he waned with it. When it seemed like it was up, he was up with it. And as we were so united to the cause of God in Christ, that whatever what was going on, that's where it affected him. And all beloved, and it tells us that it was in his heart to build a house for God. You remember, it says, you know, I'm going to build a house. He called all his servants and said, I'm going to build a house for God. God came to him and says, David, I know it's in your heart. I know it's in your heart to build a house for me. I know it is. But he says, you're not going to build it. No, you're not going to build it. No, no. Your son's going to build it. Uh-huh. And his son has built the house of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, whose house are we? Oh, you're talking about a fellow devoted. He wanted to build God a house, a place to worship. And then, beloved, he was so loving and devoted that when they took the ark back into Jerusalem, he come in there dancing in the Spirit and dancing and singing and shaking timbrels and rejoicing that the ark was being brought back to Jerusalem where it ought to be in the temple of God. And his love and devotion was God was manifested always also towards even his enemies. Oh, especially manifested toward God's people. You know, in Mephibosheth, he was David's enemy through Saul. The only living relative was Saul. That's why when they'd go in, they'd kill everything. They'd kill every male child, every woman child. They didn't leave especially no males alive, because if they left the male alive, he's going to grow up and he's going to come get vengeance on you. Tribal. Well, they left Mephibosheth alive. And he was a prince, really. Even after God, as far as the Law was concerned, and of course, he's lame on both of his feet. You all know the story. And David said this. He said, "Is there any yet of the house of Saul that I might show kindness to? I don't want no vengeance. I don't want to kill anybody." He said, "Is there any?" He said, "There's a little old boy over yonder. He's crippled. Can't walk. Has to be carried everywhere he goes." He said, "Fetch him. Bring him over here. Put some clothes on him. Set him over at my table. And if you see that he's fed three times a day, he's sitting right there at that table. I want him set at the king's. I want him having provisions from the king's table." Oh, he had a loving devoted heart. No wonder it says Christ was the son of David. Everything. And oh, not only that, but he had a committed heart. A committed heart. He was committed to God and to His cause, to His people, to His worship, to His glory. That's why He says, when they said unto me, "David, where is now thy God? Where is your God, David?" When everybody was after Him, He had enemies after Him. Oh, my, they said, "David, where's your God?" He said, "Our God's in the heavens. And He does whatever pleases Him. And not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto Thy name be glory." For what? For Thy mercies and Thy truth's sake.
Amen.
And oh, he is committed to the glory of God. Worship Him in the beauty of holiness, he said. And he was committed to his heart. His heart that he had all of his life was expressed when he was just a youth. Remember this? When he went out to take his brother some food. And all of Israel was cowed down over one man, Goliath. Stood a little over 9 foot tall. Great old big man. Huge man. And oh, ever nobody, he'd come out every day. He said, "Who's that man? Don't come out." He said, "I'll kill every, you know." David heard him out there bragging. He said, "Who's going to go down there and fight that fella? Why ain't you all about to whip him?" And boy, his brothers got mad and said, "You proud little..." Oh, they said some awful things to him. He said, "I'll go fight him." "Fight him? You're just a boy. You just went over there to take some food." But his heart was so zealous for the cause of God and the glory of God. They said, "Give me some armor." They gave him Saul's armor. "It's too big." He said, "I don't need that." Gave him his sword. "That's too big. I can't handle that." And he walked out there in that field. Over here is the army of the Philistines. Over here is the armies of Israel. Tens of thousands of people. And here's this great big giant standing right down there between them two armies. And here comes a little old boy, probably no more than 5'6", 5'7", 5'8". Probably 125 or 30 pounds. And he had a little old sling. Had him 5 stones. He had the sovereignty of God. He had God. And he got down there and he says, "You know, you haven't defied the armies of Israel. You've defied the living God." And he walked down there and said, told those fellows, "Is there not a cause? The glory of God, is there not a cause? Is the will of God not a cause? Is the might of God not a cause? Is the truth of God not a cause? Is the honesty and faithfulness and power of God not a cause? Did you all sit here scared to death?" He walked down there with a rock, a stone, and slew a giant. Because you know what? He had a heart that knew God, worshiped God, believed God, and needed God, and was glorifying God. Wanted that more than he did anything. And you know, let me show you this in closing. 2 Samuel 23, and then even in his dying words, this is the heart attitude that he had. In his dying words, look at it. There was nothing half-hearted about David. Whatever he did, he went wholehearted at it. When he sinned greatly. When he worshipped greatly. When he warred greatly. Oh, nothing half-hearted about David. And all here in 2 Samuel 23, even in his dying words, he had all these attitudes of hearts. Now look what it says there in verse 1. Now these be the last words of David. David, the son of Jesse, and the man who was raised up on high, the anointed of the God of Jacob, and the sweet psalmist of Israel. And look what he says down here in verse 5. Well, verse 2. The Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and His word was in my tongue. The God of Israel said, the Rock of Israel spake to me. He that ruleth over men must be judged, ruling in the fear of God. And when he does this, he'll be as the light of the morning. And when the sun arises, even a morning without clouds, all to go to a just judge that rules in the fear of God. Where's the judge that does that? They're fixed to make a new Supreme Court justice. You reckon she's going to rule justly? And she reckons she's going to rule in the fear of God? You reckon when you was to face her that she would be as the light of the morning? And the sun that rises even as a morning without clouds? As the tender grass springing out of the earth by the clear shining after a rain? Now watch this. Talking about this heart. Although my house be not so with God. There's that patient submission, that loving, devoted heart. Yet He hath made with me, there's that believing heart, an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things. There's that heart that he knows that God is faithful, the immutability of God. He's trusting Him in His providence. And it's sure. And look what he says. Here's that heart that believes, this is all my salvation and all my desire. Although He make it not to grow, He may never save none of my children after I'm gone. But He's still God. And I'm going to go with Him. Oh, God, you know it. David didn't have this heart by nature.
No.
God gave him a new heart. He says, I'll take out the stony heart and put in a heart of flesh. By God in His grace gave him a new heart. God in His grace made him who he was. God in His grace made him a new creature in Christ. God in His grace made him the king of Israel. Made him the man that he was. It's like Saul of Tarsus. He says, after God converted him, he became Paul the apostle. And he says, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And that's what David says. The reason I'm in this condition, where is that? God made with me an everlasting covenant ordered in all things and sure. That's why the life that I have. Amen. Oh, Father. Father, Father. Oh, blessed Lord Jesus. How I know every one of us here tonight would love to have a heart. A heart that all of us have a heart like David had. A heart that would be after your heart. We'd all like to be men and women that's after your heart. That you'd look and find a broken, contrite heart, a believing heart, a submissive heart, a committed heart, a loving heart. That you'd find this heart in us. And Lord, that you in your grace would keep a heart like that in us. Keep us, O Lord, a heart to love you and be committed to your cause and your gospel and your people. And every place we find somebody that we can reach out a hand to, and as David did to Mephibosheth, as Lydia did to Paul, as the Philippian jailer did to the apostles when he took them in, washed their stripes. God, help us always to be good and gracious to the household of faith. We bless you for this time you gave us this evening. Bring glory to yourself through this congregation of believers. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. 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 There is a name I